Get the very best in hot water. Ask your plumber to install a ream. Built tough for Aussie conditions.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Hey, it's Friday, 29th of May.
Oh,
we made
TGIF.
It. Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. Welcome to it. DIY fails. We got on to some tradies who have had to clean up after people who have mucked up a DIY project. Can you cheat on your regular barber, people you like to go see? You know, can you actually cheat on them? And have you been in a road rage incident? Postcode carry on, lots of fun coming up. Nick?
Oh, I was going to say, I think I may have picked the barista and the cafe I'm going to stick with, because when I went down to the bloke just before, who's reopened, first coffee on him for the day.
Oh.
That may have done it.
He might have been listening and thought, I'm going
to
get Nick.
To my way.
Opportunity.
He gave you a free coffee.
Yeah, and he did it yesterday too. Something's up.
Can I just check? I've only had one coffee in my life, and it was in Rome.
Yeah, why don't you drink coffee?
I don't know, I never got around to it.
Just never got around
to
it.
Not a hot drink guy. Yeah.
One of my favourite stories ever, Marto, you said you saw a sign on the cafe that said world's best coffee, had one, and it wasn't that good.
Wasn't
I think they're lying to you.
Fair enough. You can't argue with that.
But how much are they? How much do coffees cost?
$4.50, yeah. $5.
Gee whiz.
Depends.
They got you, blokes. Just a couple of beans and some hot water.
Yeah, I've had four this morning already.
Yeah. Have you had four?
Yeah.
There's a good coffee machine here in the office.
Four coffees and a Red Bull.
Seeing how it's made. Seeing how it's made really does go, I'm paying $4.50 for this.
Well, we talk about the DIY stuff on the show as well today. I'm not a barista, so why would I DIY?
Yeah, that's true.
There are people that don't know how to make themselves laugh.
You're like my grandfather.
So they come and see me.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a farmer at Stanthorpe, but he always said that there's people who do these jobs for their job. So he'd always get specialists in rather than dabble.
Exactly.
Like you.
That's how the economy keeps spinning.
So how do you feel about open mic nights where a bunch of nufties try to get on stage and tell jokes?
Well, that's TAFE. That's comedy TAFE.
Enjoy the show.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, I love one of these, and what a beautiful addition for a Friday. It's time for... Dumb. We're heading down to Griffith, country New South Wales, where two blokes have been found not guilty after a massive mix-up that just started pretty innocently. It was over an incorrect address. They made some arrangements with another bloke on Facebook for them to engage in some weird sexual role play. And the guy that wanted it done to him has sent his address, but he later updated his address after moving house.
Oh, hold on.
So he moved in between the time that they had arranged to meet.
Yeah, for a bit of role play, kinky role play.
Between three gentlemen?
Well, that happens.
So, I just wanted to make sure I had all the facts.
Modern world.
Yep. A bloke living in the street of the original address, he got woken up. One morning, he saw some light coming from his lounge room, and he thought it was his mate. He's got a mate that comes over and makes him coffee every morning. And he said to his mate, bugger off, it's too early. But then he's realised there's two men there. Both of them have knives. One of them has a broom handle.
Jesus.
And they said, where's blah, blah, blah. He said, you've got the wrong house. And to be fair, the two guys said, sorry, mate, shook the resident's hand, and then they drove off. But obviously, the guy got freaked out. He's called
the cops.
Right. He's called the cops. They've just broken into the wrong house. And one of the guys that's broken in, his barrister successfully submitted the entry was for a non-criminal purpose. He said it was a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom.
What was the knife for?
Which end of the broom?
So many details.
Do they clean the broom first?
Marto, I love you so much. I love that you hear that. There's two blokes being paid to break into a man's house, stroke him with a broom. You go, what end?
Wielding knives and a broom to tickle him.
See, this is what goes
on. Bristles are on the end.
Maybe a feather?
Feather.
Is it a commercial broom for outdoor purposes or is it one of those household indoor brooms with a softer bristle?
Yeah, you know the ones they use in Bali just to give it a bit of a sweep? Well, that'd be quite nice.
Oh, a little fan one. Little handheld one.
A commercial outdoor broom.
Yeah, like one to do a driveway.
Scrub him down post-mortem.
A blower.
Nick, I assume you have all these details.
Yes. No, I don't have the details about what type of broom it was.
So
I don't think anybody
to the
asked.
Other guy? He's then just laying at the other address waiting and nothing happens. They're a no-show.
Marta, you just want to go down to Bunnings to get some evidence. Was it this type of broom or this type of broom? But how's this? It turns out the bloke that had paid for it, he said he was willing to pay $5,000 if it was really good.
Wow.
What a job to have in this economy.
I might put my resignation in. I found myself a new career path.
How do you compare a poor one and a really good one?
Well, that's the thing. I think it is up to the bloke.
That was a really ordinary brooming. I'm not paying you for that.
Considering all the people that have lost their jobs, for a bloke to get paid $5,000 to rub a broom handle around your crotch.
Everyone who has a job in this economy is an essential worker. Every single job that is being done.
Essential brooming.
Essential.
A broom job.
It's Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto Margo and Nick Cody. Morning.
Hey, we got Goody Tallis on a little bit later in the show, and he can do the proper analysis on what went wrong with the Broncos last night. But that, it was a bit too slick for them, the whole speed of the game. Perhaps that's one of them. But I'll tell you what, something that was strange was there was only two penalties in the first half. So they're not throwing penalties out. They're going six to go.
Mm.
I'm sitting there. We had a little fire going like you, had a pizzas on and had about six people with us around the place. And I twice in the first 15 minutes when the six, and I didn't realise what was going on, I twice got up from where I was sitting and went into the house thinking the smoke alarm had got off. It wasn't until about 10 minutes to go before half time when I realised it wasn't our smoke, I thought, Jesus, I'm going to have to replace the batteries on those bloody smoke alarms. I didn't know that every time there was six to go, they made this noise.
Dane Evans, one of the defenders in there. Six more is the ruling here as Darius Boyd.
That's not fair.
Make a break.
You can't go around doing smoke alarms on telly and spooking everyone. Now imagine really old people older than me.
That was a mistake. I didn't know what that was because there was all sorts of different noises. There was that noise, Marta. There was some canned audience happening.
Where do you get a canned audience? Did they go through old games and just get some noises and put them all together?
They must have because I was like watching it thinking, oh, yeah, this is like normal. Like, you know, there's people there, but, you know, they didn't really pan wide or to the crowd. I thought visually they did a relatively good job of, you know, keeping it nice and tight and focused on the game and the players. Well, but there was all this noise happening in the background. Did you see
the Mr. Forexes in the crowd?
Heaps of Mr. Forexes. Yeah. That's what I thought the smoke alarm was. They were having a cheeky durry. It's gone off.
I thought, oh, can someone open the microwave? You know, if you don't open it, you leave it in there, ding a little bit. Work it out. There you go, everyone. If it happens to you in the future games.
Well, I think because it's the first game back too, you're kind of overanalyzing it because it's different to what we're used to. And we're looking for all those things.
But it was different. It was faster.
Yeah, it was much faster. But the commentary, I thought, was interesting at
what
times.
What were you on?
Too. I was watching Fox. And I know
Aussie,
Nick
probably.
Was watching Fox with me because we were texting each other back and forth about certain parts of the game. Yep. And so I knew that we were both on the same track. Sorry to leave you out of the group text, Marto.
That's all right. I wouldn't have answered.
We both heard this, didn't we, Nick?
Forces the ball out. Gee, that's good contact.
That's a great low shot from Jesse Arthurs.
Grandma's vase on the sideboard, it rattled. The curtain shook. The pillows fell off the couch. The buffet tipped over. Heavy defence from Brisbane.
Oh, Vossy, a little bit much, eh?
Very descriptive of Grandma's house.
Wow.
Yeah, What's a buffet?
That's what you put your feet on.
Yeah.
Isn't it just a poof?
I thought it was a poof, but maybe there's an E on the end, is there?
It was like Tajay. It was very...
I wish he kept describing it because it sounds like my grandparents' house. The decorative spoon collection shaking on the wall. The old robe that Pa walks around in with cigarette burns on the sleeves has come off the bedroom door. What a shot. I loved it. I thought it was so great. But the thing is, Margo, they're not just talking to Australians now. Because this game was shown all around the world.
Mm.
This match being screened on Fox Sports 1 across the United States of America. Across Sky Sports in the UK. Great to have your company.
Gosh.
US and the UK.
New Zealand would have been everywhere.
Sevo scored that unbelievable try in the first half.
Oh, I had to get that down.
And the commentators didn't forget that it is a worldwide audience.
Donald Trump's got up in the White House. How do you do that?
Oh, wow.
Not a great Trump impression, but he did remember that there was an international audience watching it.
Was Donald Trump watching?
He was. He was actually watching because he's come out and he's given Sevo a new nickname.
I call it the super duper missile.
Very good. Hey, just a reminder, we will have Gordy Tallis on the show at 20 past 8 this morning.
Analysis.
We're going to be chatting to Dobbo as well too, so we'll have a bit of fun there.
That's coming up on The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast, weekday mornings from 5:30.
24.5 Triple M.
Gee, amazing thing was on the news last night. They were talking about, we said Bunnings. I always keep telling you, Bunnings and the hardware stores have gone nutso during this during this, the lockdown, etc. Mm. Everyone was doing up their house and stuff like that. Listen to the stats.
We are up, you know, I would even go as high as 50, 55% on the weekends.
Wow.
That's, wow.
They've gone crazy. You should see Bunnings on the weekend. It is just, I've never seen it as busy. Not one single car park. You know how big their car park
is. Well, people have got time on their hands. I know, yep. Like Corey, when the NRL season shut down, he had 6 weeks at home, Marto. Right. And he was sanding decks, oiling decks, fixing up down pipes and cleaning gutters and blow-vacking leaves and trimming hedges.
Did he have a go at doing any carpentry? Because that's all bloody handy. And everyone's yards look wonderful, etc.
Yeah, but he made me some beautiful shelves for my bedroom. I was trying to find a table to go under a TV. I couldn't find anything. And we had this big, beautiful bit of timber that we bought out from the back of Bean Lee there.
Yeah, big slab.
Beautiful slab of silky oak or something. And I said, well, why don't you split that in half and fix it to the
and
wall.
And he's got that ability.
And have two beautiful floating, nice big timber shelves. So he did that.
You happy with it?
Amazing. Yeah, he did a great job.
Well, you're not like a lot of people. The thing is, they went on to Google to, you know, do-it-yourself jobs, etc. And yeah,
didn't work out.
Now we'll have a listen to what they're talking about.
Where people are trying to hang a door and, you know, discover they've hung it upside down or something.
No, well, you just got to bend down to open up that, open the door up just for a second.
How do you know which way a door goes up the right way?
That's a very good question.
Do they write on it top and bottom? Because if it's just a plain door with no
rectangle.
I've never thought about it. Yeah, you just look at it and
handles in the middle.
In my house, we've got the doors with the, you know, the four bits carved out, the panels.
Yeah.
You know, and then the longer bits go at the bottom and the shorter bit goes at the top. So you know that that's the top and the
bottom. And I've seen doors, I have seen doors hung the other way and it's not really a problem.
It's just a plain door.
But sometimes there's only a small lock block because some of those doors, the hollow doors, you know how there's just cardboard inside some doors. Yeah. If you don't hang them right, you do have to put the lock down low.
Down low.
That's a little bit embarrassing. All right, what I'm talking about is these do-it-yourself, well, I think they call it DIY fails.
Now the sheepish calls to tradies are flooding in.
In the last 4 weeks, I've gotten probably double the normal calls that I would usually get to a DIY fail.
Not everyone's as capable as your husband.
Well, Nick Cody.
Terrible.
You're
I pay
not
professionals
very
every
handy,
time.
Yeah. Have you done anything at home that's not gone so well?
I had a go.
No, I've never had a crack. Why would I? Why would I?
Just
I don't know what I'm doing.
I had a go.
I didn't go to TAFE. I don't know what I'm doing. But I read the instruction manual for a high pressure hose, all right? I'm not ready to start drilling and sawing.
Holly, can we just check whether these stats are right or whether it was a bogus story? Are you, as a tradie, having to go over and fix people's problems up? Have you noticed this? Or can you dob in your other half if your husband or if you want to dob in yourself. Yes, I stuffed it. Cole from Bald Hills, did you have a go?
Yeah, mate, I'm selling my house and we wanted to put up a colourbond fence. Me and a mate, Kiwi mate, mad drinker. We both thought, we can dig a hole and put cement in the ground. That's nice and easy. We attempted it ourselves.
Yeah.
And we decided to, hit the piss while we were doing it.
Yeah.
And I think we ended up having pretty much a six-pack between us per panel. And by the end of it,
per panel,
not straight.
She started off straight, didn't end so straight.
Did you go go deep enough on the holes? Like, how deep did you go? 600 mil, 60 centimetres?
Nah, I think it was about probably 40 or 50, most of them.
Yeah, probably not enough concrete and too
enough.
Much beer.
Got lazy, Cole.
Mm.
You'll find some hippie, though, I reckon, that finds that, like, intriguing.
Ah, it's like a cloud.
It's like Gaudi inspired or something.
Can't
fence.
Brady from Burpengary, DIY fail.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you, Brady.
I needed a service, and I decided that me and my mate would do it. We jumped under, and because the Mazda motors are sideways, we ended up dumping the trans oil instead of the engine oil.
Oh no.
Right, were you doing it off, were you Googling as you were going? Did you have the Google on under the car?
No, we had the YouTube going.
Oh, right.
And then we ended up putting the fresh oil in, and we're like, apparently it was too much what we put in, so we tried to drain some, and then we opened the sump, nothing come out, and that's when we realised it was the trans oil.
Oh, God, blimey.
Wow.
All right, so then you just re-drain.
Yeah, it was all good. It was all good. The trans all needed draining anyway, but, we felt like a pack of dickheads.
Yeah, of course you did. We felt like a pack of dickheads then laughing.
Because you were, Brady. You were a dickhead.
Thanks to the Brady. A few beers in that job, too.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
flicking through the channels the other night, I saw on the ABC, they were chatting to a couple of people that had been on the Ruby Princess. And I thought, wow, that is now my favourite cruise ship. Mardo, I know you've always got your eyes peeled for some Ruby
Princess. I'm glad there's someone still alive who can tell stories about the old Ruby.
Well, yeah, there was a couple from South Australia, Ursula and Leon. They were passengers on the Ruby Princess in March. And when they returned home to South Australia, Leon got crook first. Oh, right? He said, Leon. Started to sweat. I was wringing wet. Ursula saw me and she said, "What's wrong with you?" And I felt so hot, I'm burning up. He said, "I've never been so sick in my life." Wow. And then it got worse because Ursula got it.
Oh, no.
She got coronavirus as well.
Yeah. She'll never live that down, will he, Leon?
Yeah,
well, she's you a kidney, gave it to me, you bastard. It's all your fault.
Well, she should have stayed away because she's a kidney transplant recipient.
Oh, Jesus.
She spent 10 days in ICU at the Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Oh, yeah. She's pulled through.
She thought she was going to die. Yeah. And then she said it was actually their very first cruise. How unlucky.
Oh, that's a shame to have a bad experience straight up.
Yeah.
We'll learn.
Years and years and years on earth, they finally took a punt. Let's go on a cruise. Happens to be the Ruby Princess.
Yeah, not, yeah, oh well.
And then Ursula almost dies in intensive care. And then the couple on the ABC said, "We can't wait to go on another cruise."
Oh.
Wow.
Like a redeem cruise, you know, redeem yourself, cruising industry. I want you to show me that you can be better.
You're not going to try to kill me.
No.
Leon said, "We've already been down and seen them at Hello World where we booked our last one."
Oh, wow. They probably thought, just
send us an email, you sick dogs. Yeah. They come down in person. Give us a buzz.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Mardo, Margo and Nick Cody.
We are here for Ream, for the very best in hot water. Install a Ream, Margo.
Yeah, boys, we've been talking a lot about Ream lately and, you know, you don't like it when I sing it, Mardo, but no. The jingle. So I went back and I found the original jingle, the one that I sing.
I'm
and
climbing
I know,
in the 70s in store.
1953.
Holy
was registered.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought it might have needed a bit of updating.
Install a ream.
Is that you?
Install a ream.
Is that you? Is that you singing?
The hottest of hot water you've ever seen. Ream comes on steady, hot and strong.
Okay. It just keeps Dave.
Install a ream. Wait, it's the best bit.
Install a ream.
Do you know?
Yellow card for Margo.
Do you know? Do you know? Can you hear it?
How bad I am?
Yes.
Yes.
And that wasn't, you weren't singing that straight. That went to Rick, one of the best audio producers in the world.
Even that's all he could do with it.
Ream has over 80 years of manufacturing in Australia, built tough Aussie conditions, whether it's our hot summers or freezing winters. Ream hot water is steady, hot and strong. Ask your plumber to install a ream.
Never again.
I need to start a choir.
Steady, hot. A choir would be good. That's how we'd bury
you. Like a pub choir, except Margot's version of that.
But we could bury you underneath some decent voices. That'd be good.
All the bad singers, we could just sing together.
You want bad singers?
We need a place where we can sing. You know, I just love to sing. I know I can't, but, you know, just love it.
Hey, Nick, what's coming up next?
Well, two of the craziest old people I've ever seen were on the ABC. Two Ruby Princess passengers, both caught coronavirus, and they're talking about their next holiday.
Oh, no.
That's after this. You too on the Big Breakfast. Triple M, beautiful Friday morning in Brisbane.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
With Mardo, Margo and Nick Cody.
Another chapter of the most bizarre legal fight that's in our courts at the moment took place again yesterday. You remember down at Runaway Bay, Nick, this has been going on for a couple of years, guys. Runaway Bay, they demolished a canal, you know, those places that back onto canals, demolished the house, the tennis court and the swimming pool, and they're going to put some mega place. And every excavator's dream, it happened a couple of years ago, every excavator guy who's doing the digging and he's offsider, they uncovered 100,000 in some plastic drums first. And then they went, oh my God, what's going on here? Bit more digging. In the end, if you remember it, there was $488,000 in $50 and $100 notes dug up.
Just shy of $500.
Yes. Now, if you remember the story, they took
it. Two blokes, wasn't it?
Two, yeah. Warren and Dan. They took it over, and the police station was nearly over the road. So they went over and look what we found.
Mm, silly mistake.
Insane.
Would you have taken it? I would have taken it.
Of course you would have taken it.
It was old notes, though, wasn't it?
Not really. Like, it's all legal tender.
Is it actual money? Like, does it have value? Like, because some of it's in bits and pieces. And
well, if it's broken, you can tape it up. But let's say a few of them are broken, it might only be $400,000, still a lot of money.
Yes.
So they took it to the police, and then, of course, they were immediately sacked by their boss, who is the builder. And he was working for the developer, so there were all these.
Why did they get sacked again? Because
he said, "What was that? That should be my money. I'm running this building site. That should be mine." Then the developer said, "Well, I actually own the site. That's my money." And then there was a Chinese bloke. He said, "My dad used to live here. I think that's his money."
Yeah.
And there was a chef. Was there a chef involved?
Yes.
My dad was a chef with $500,000 in the ground.
Yep. You know? Okay. So then it took another bit of a turn. I hadn't seen this bloke. He poked his nose in it only yesterday in court. Margot, how do we describe him?
I saw him last night on the
news. Dave. His name's Dave. So he's poked up and he said, hey, I live there too. I think it's my money. Would you say he's had a tough lockdown? He hasn't been to the barber or the dentist for a while?
He looked a little dishevelled.
Okay.
Is he the loose unit? Because there was a loose unit the other month as well.
No, this is a new loose unit as far as I can tell. Here he starts.
Five people are tussling for the cash, including the tradies who found the loot, the developer who owns the site, and Tweed Heads resident Mr. Timpson.
Here's Mr. Timpson.
He's a Tweed Heads resident, but he's saying the money in Runaway Bay is his, which he is used the other end of the coast.
He just wants to take it. He wants the money.
How important would it be to you to get that money?
It'd be pretty good. Be able to relax and put my feet up.
Great laugh.
Put his feet up.
He hasn't had a lot of luck.
Might have a bit of luck with the money, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
He seems to find this very funny.
Yeah, until she points out, if you keep going to court, you've got to pay these lawyer things.
Legal fees.
If his claim for the buried cash is unsuccessful, he could be forced to pay thousands in court fees.
I don't know about that. I just go with the flow,
Go with the flow. Go with the flow. It's like the vibe off the castle, isn't it?
And Nick, if you're going to ask, I know you want to ask a question. Right. He doesn't have a lisp. He's just missing a few front teeth.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that a dream you have? If your teeth fall out, you're coming into money. Is that what's happened to him?
He's missing side teeth as well.
Yeah.
And bottom teeth. And
Telstra just reminded me I haven't paid my bill for the last month. Should I just write back, sorry, gang, I'm just going with the flow.
All right. Well, as much as we might be, I'm not trying to pick on him, I think he is actually smarter than a lot of the lawyers, because what would a common sense solution be? Because they're obviously having this blue.
Well, and if it's not your money, you'd walk away. That would be smart.
No, not
it?
Mr. Timpson. He suggested this, and this could be a legal precedent.
Timpson, who claims to be a former tenant at the property, says he has the solution.
Well, split it up and then we'll all be happy, but who knows what goes on.
He's so cute.
Did you hear what I just said before that? What should he do? I said they should split it.
Yep.
I've got the same mentality as that bloke. The same problem-solving skills as Mr. Timpson.
Congratulations.
There'll surely be another update.
Oh, God.
I hope Mr. Timpson finds a better shirt to wear to court next time.
On the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Guys, you might hear me a little bit twitchy this morning. I'm a bit over-caffeinated. I've got a problem because downstairs at the studio, there's a cafe. And there's also one just across the road a little bit.
Was the other one opened?
Well, the one downstairs was closed for the last 2 months.
Has it opened?
Yep, it's reopened. Oh. But the problem is I've now become friends with the people
across the
cafe
road.
Across the road too.
Hold on. Are you going to walk past the one directly below us to get across to the one across the road?
No, I've got to get a coffee off him first, then the second coffee I run across to the other bloke. Depending on how I feel, I visit the other. I'm seeing two cafes a day for coffee because I can't.
Yeah.
I can't let one down.
You're cheating on your barista.
I am.
Have you got to carry? The do they have different cups? Are they disposables? Do. You should take your own cup.
Which one
and then
has
they
better
won't.
Coffee? Wouldn't you just go to the one that has better coffee? Or cheaper?
It's just...
It's cheating.
I'm stuck.
It's cheating.
I'm stuck now.
Same thing with me. You know, I got the haircut last week. I didn't go to my normal haircutter, who I've been going to, Paul. I'll be up front, and he does listen to Triple M. He's 108 kilograms MMA fighter. That's why I just want to apologise.
He had too many
people out the front because they were just about to go back to school, and there was a queue of about 15. Went to another bloke, did a good job too. Walked past Paul, his hairdressing there at Ashgrove, his barbershop at Ashgrove. Head down, shameful, with a hat pulled down really low. couldn't look at him. I'm not loyal
in that sense.
Are you?
No, well, I have a hairdresser in Cornubia that I go to normally because it's convenient and it's just down the road from my house. But there's also one just here near work. And so back this
week.
Where
did you get that haircut done last week?
Well, not at my normal hairdresser. I literally went to get a wash and a blow dry. And next minute, I have no hair and it's darker.
Yeah, but what is that? What is your other?
And my hairdresser texts me and she said, "Oh, I'm really jealous. I wish I had to cut your hair for you." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. It just kind of happened."
What? She had a longing to cut your hair.
Well, we had talked about it, you know, because she cut it originally, and then I grew it out with her, and we went through the whole process of growing it out. And then I went, I didn't even think, should I have been loyal? But it just kind of happened in the moment. It wasn't a pre-thought thing.
I'm trying to be sneaky, where Margot's usual hairdresser would have seen 310 Instagram stories about the new hairdo. And she's like, oh, she's really rubbing it in.
Yeah, P.S. Sorry, I cut my hair.
This happens, though. Sometimes if your plumber or your electrician's not available, you use another one.
Just use another one. It's about convenience. No, it's not always about loyalty. If you can get somebody else that does the job as equally or as well and...
I just feel guilty, though.
You feel like you're cheating on your regular.
Gotcha.
Would they feel the same about you if they were doing a job for somebody else or doing something that went against, I don't know, maybe
I've done that.
Marto's out of firewood this weekend, but I want to have a fire. So who do I get my firewood from? Someone else.
I am dropping some in at your house later on.
Well, it's all right. I already got some last weekend from someone
else. I saw some Rallos at the Powerhouse this year when my Brisbane Comedy Festival show was on. I was like, guys, you should have let me know you were coming. I would have hooked you up with tickets. And they said, we're seeing someone else. Brutal.
Oh.
I'm their relative.
What, do you want to see if this happens to everyone, if they care, whether they're cheating
on your regular.
Yeah, cheating on your regular.
I think people are as loyal as you two are.
Really? Yeah,
well, I want to know. 1-3-3-3
Are you keeping your circles too small?
Can you cheat on your regular?
So we're talking regular hairdresser.
Not husbands or wives or anything like that. Just like coffees and hairs and stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to know if it's actually possible? Like, is it technically cheating if you have a usual barber and you go to someone else? Is 100%. It cheating?
Pubs? Oh, what are pubs?
No, I can't remember.
Does loyalty exist anymore? I don't think so. I don't think people are loyal. I think it's all about convenience.
Matt from Eden's Landing.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You got to think about this from the business owner's perspective. Speaking as a taxi driver, I go out of my way. I've got a lot of regulars, and I go out of my way to keep them. So when you go to the same person all the time, think about some of the little things that they do for you. And what you got to consider is some of those little things that they may do for you are things that business owners do to keep your regulars, because your regulars are your bread and butter.
Yeah.
If you lose your regulars, your business is going to go, all backwards.
I haven't dropped any of them. I'm just having double the amount of coffee every day now.
Matt was on his CB radio
there. Matt said a few things that actually triggered some memories of mine. Look, I do have a bakery that I do like to go to because they make those buns, you know, with the icing on top and the sprinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed one day that the last bun that was left didn't have as much icing as it normally would. So I said to her, would you mind putting a little bit more icing on it for me? And she did. She took it out the back and she loaded up the icing so the icing was like this thick
snot.
And went all the way around to the edges.
Did you hear snot? No.
Yeah, you got snot.
No, she loves me.
A little bit more icing, Mrs. Parker? Not a problem.
Snot rocket.
You can do that with your, you know.
Karen from Annalee, do you understand the guilt we're talking about, Karen?
Oh, absolutely. But first of all, Nick Cody, what the heck? Come on, more caffeine. There's nothing like too much caffeine, seriously.
Oh, yeah, you're saying he's soft, Karen. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, he's soft. But you know what? Honestly, I'm getting in the car. I'm rocking away to an awesome song. And then I realise my kid has changed the station off you guys. And I just want to say, 2 hours. I feel so bad. I've cheated on you.
Yes, Karen, you did.
Triple M regular. Feel guilty.
You feel guilty, didn't you?
You're right about the caffeine, and that's what my wife can say in a few weeks' time. Sure, he died of a massive heart attack at 33, but he was loyal, and that's what we love.
Jason from the Gold Coast. Who are you cheating on, or are you not a cheater? Are you a cheater? What's going on? What's the cheating?
Dirty cheater.
Yeah, no, I'm a cheater. I'm the missus. She's a hairdresser from home. And being a beard connoisseur of myself, I actually go to a barber.
Nasty.
Yeah, that's going down well. But
Why, Jason, do it to yourself?
So you'd rather pay your $27 or $30, whatever it costs for a barber, for your barber beard?
Yeah. I'll pay 50, but I get a free beer.
Not technically free because you pay $50 for a haircut.
You only pay 27.
It's beard and hair, but no, the main thing I just hairdressers and barbers. I just think there is a difference.
Yeah, of course.
And I would not trust my missus with a cutthroat.
And small talk with your missus.
Well, I wouldn't trust your wife with a cutthroat either.
That's why you don't want to get it mixed up, do you, Marto? You sit down in the chair and go, the missus has been on my back. Oh, no, I'm at home.
Whoops. Hey, Jason, because I'm sure your wife is upset with you for cheating on her, so we're going to give you something to take home to her.
We don't reward bad behaviour, Dave.
$100 meat tray. Yeah. She's going to love it. It's from 3 Fat Butchers and a Farmer. They're located at Metropole Shopping Centre, Carindale, and delivering to neighbouring suburbs. Find them on Facebook.
Don't take that home, Jase. Go and eat it with a mate.
Take it to the barber.
Yeah. I'll say I got off the barber.
Good on you, Jase.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30. 5 questions, and only one person will make it to the finish line and receive the ultimate bounty. It's the Big Breakfast's Last Person Standing.
Cameron from Toowoomba joins us this morning for the 8 a.m. edition of Last Person Standing. Good morning, Cameron.
Hey, how you going?
Good. I heard a little rumour you're going fishing, mate. Got a spot that you go to?
Yeah. it's a bit of a secret one.
Not giving it away.
Are you going fishing in one of the dams?
No, I'm up the coast today, so.
The wind's picking up the sarbo, mate, southeasterly. Be careful.
Yeah. I'll keep it inside.
Let's get it away.
Question one.
A Zamboni is a machine used to curate the playing surface of which sport?
Ice hockey.
Oh.
Cam, bang. I've got to ask, how did you know that so quickly?
I like my American sport.
He's a Canucks fan.
Wow, that's sensational.
All right.
And it's question two. One of those things Zamboni just sticks in your head.
I know.
Question two. The Watergate scandal forced which US president to resign from office?
Cameron.
We got a lot of
US politics. Yep.
Question three.
Who's older? Tracy Grimjaw or 2 Minute Noodles?
It's only 2 years in it.
I'm going to say old Tracy.
She's not that old. Sorry, Cameron. Edwina from Kalanga, who's older?
Yes, that would be 2 Minute Noodles.
Certainly would be. 1958.
Good listening skills from Edwina.
Australian Walter Lindrum was a world champion in what sport? That's a weird one. Is it a sport?
Oh, Edwina, Dave, that's not us.
Fast. Ben from Logan, good morning.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, good. Nick Cody wants to know what sport Walter... Walter Lindrum, what sport was he?
A billiard player.
Billiard player.
Can I just check something? Now, billiards is different to snooker, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bit different. I do want to check, Ben, did you win... of all the hundreds of callers we have for the quiz, did you win the 5:30 quiz?
No.
All right, good. No. Righto.
I won last Friday.
Oh, did
last
you just? Friday. Well,
play on.
Question five.
This is for the win, Ben. Good morning. During which month is the Earth closest to the sun? Ben, goodbye. We say it took too long. We say goodbye to you.
Did he say the right answer? Did anyone pick it up?
Yeah,
I think he did.
Steve from Deception Bay, good morning for the win.
He's already won before.
Morning, how are you? Yeah,
good.
I'm going to say August.
No. Sorry, Steve. That's goodbye. Winter. Catherine from Nunda, this is your opportunity to take out Last Person Standing. Which month is it?
January.
Yay! Hey, there we go. Congratulations, Catherine. Hey, guess what? You've won a $100 C&L Tools voucher. C&L Tools, check out their megastore in Banyo.
Just down the road from Catherine.
You want to buy tools, not talk to one, check out cltoolcentre.com.au. Congratulations, Catherine.
Okay, thank you.
Triple M.
Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves
Tallis. Oh, we've been looking forward to this all morning. We've been tying ourselves in knots trying to work out what happened to the Broncos last night. Were they too slow? Were they, were they just outdone by the new rules? Thank God we got the Gordonator. Hello, mate.
Hey, guys, how are we?
Gordy, saw you in a suit last night. How long has it been since you put on a suit, my friend?
Well, since round one. So, it's been down, but it was great to see rugby league back and Peter Volandis you know, he led, and there was a lot of sacrifices to get the game back to where it was last night. And I tell you what, I like the new product. I like what I saw.
Isn't it quick?
Yeah. Oh, it's quick. It's mate, there's no structure. Players have to think on their feet. Yeah. You know, and there was, and no one complained about the, actually, Anthony Seabold complained about the referee, but that's going to happen every losing coach will be. Yeah. That's a given. But, you know, I think.
Referee was good.
Yeah, in general, everybody that I was sitting with at Fox Sports, and most of them have played the game for a long time and been involved, really loved what we saw last night.
Gordy, I've got to say, I was watching the pre-game show with you. You definitely had the most composure out of the four people in that room. I was watching everybody shuffling sheets, freaking out. Mm. You were there in your suit. No. And all I could think, I would never want to...
They're just there. They are just there, mate. Mick Innes writes down, like, 5 Fools Cap pages, and I don't know why. I really don't know why, because answer the question Bonnie's going to ask. It's not that hard. Yeah. The people at home have never sat in a coach's meeting, Mick, okay? They don't know the stuff you're going to talk to them about. Mm. Third man in and didn't get deep into the line, and, you know, we didn't attract the 3 and 4. Mate, please.
Gordy,
I sit there with Cooper Cronk, that's won 6 premierships, so I try to let him go because he's the guru and the goat.
And the modern, but, yeah.
Yeah. So I just sit there and just a little bit intimidated.
Gordy, it was good to see you back in at Fox there. Were you happy to be back down there? Because you drove down with Kevy this week, didn't you? What was Kevy, that car ride like?
It was actually really good. So I got up about 4:30 and picked Kevy up by 5, gave him a coffee, and it was a pretty good drive. We got to Sydney about 3:30, actually.
Right. Did you go Pacific or New England?
No, Pacific. Mate, we just come down. Mate, I sent Kevy a couple of options, and he goes, mate, no, that way's the quickest. And when he got in the car and we've been driving for about 3 hours, I said, mate, why'd you pick this way? He goes, I don't know. I've never driven to Sydney before.
He'd never driven to Sydney before?
You drove the whole way through?
Who was behind the wheel?
I drove to Coffs, and then Kevy jumped in the wheel. Jumped behind the wheel, and I didn't realise, because I was sort of relaxing and checking the emails and going through a bit of the rundown, and... we nearly ran out of petrol.
Oh, who was responsible for that? I would have said that's a navigator or driver.
I can't see. Look, I'm not going to look over. Like, obviously, there's a light flashing in front of Kevy, and the car's screaming at him. So you'd think that there's got to be something wrong, that you would look down. And then his wife, there, I guess, he does it every day. He does it all the time. And they nearly did it in the France. Like, they're driving at midnight somewhere, lost, and he nearly runs out of petrol.
Who's the better driver?
Oh, no, Kevy's very solid. Like, cautious. He's very safe. He's got a lot of kids. So he's a very cautious driver, and we both were, actually.
Gordy, that's interesting. Two grown men who have been long-time friends driving together for 10 hours. But did you find anything out about Kev you didn't know, or him the opposite way about you?
No, not really. It was sort of good because we haven't caught up for a long time, obviously, with isolation and not seeing each other. So it was really good. So we chewed the fat about a lot of things, mainly his family and kids.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
You know, how his son Billy's going to go down here and, you know, whether he's liking it. And,
Tigers. Yeah, what's the music taste? Who got to push the buttons?
Do you know what? We were listening to you guys until you run out just past the Gold Coast. Sort of thing. So, like, when you got to the Gold Coast, you guys run out. So from 5 o'clock, so when you first come on, we were listening to you, and then it was sort of breaking up, and I just kept on pressing seek, and it was all talk back. So
who was bagging us the most, you or Kev?
No, Kev. Okay. No one.
Just checking. Hey, have you got to drive home again? What's happened? Why did you drive home? Are there no planes?
Well, drive down because we're isolated. Kev is good. I'm good, and we've been in touch just with each other. Yeah. Not in touch, but like...
No, we know.
And then when we went to work, it was distancing. We all sat like apart. All the staff that are there that keep Fox alive, all the production crew, they've got their masks on, gloves, all the makeup. It's very isolated in there. But if I jumped on a flight, Marto, and I didn't know...
You'd have to quarantine.
And if I had COVID on, and then I'm on the show last night, well, then Maddie can't work Sunday. So I know that there's less chance of me getting in contact with someone by driving.
We better ask
you don't have to quarantine, and you went through the borders. Obviously, that was...
Yeah, so there was no border check on the way out. So, obviously, New South Wales has an open border, so we could drive through there.
Coming home.
Then we saw a lot of flashing lights on the way home, but I've got all the forms, so let's just...
Watch. Kevy will pull out some Origin gear and just throw it at the top and go, I'm coming through, mate.
Through the sunroof.
Gordy, I better ask you a footy question just quickly. The Broncos, the Eels are pretty special this year. The Broncos are all right, aren't they?
Yeah, look, they were. Obviously, Darius missed that try and Milford. Yeah. You know, look, I think they'll get their head around the way the footy's getting played. It's a different style. And, you know, just one thing that I saw last night was Milford's opposite. You know, he ran for 11 times when Milford is the best ball runner and he did it once. So, like, once they get used to it and they get a bit of match fitness back, you know, you think Brisbane will be back there again. You know, are they too good? Their big forwards start to look a bit clumsy. So the new rules, mate, they're going to have to either lose some weight or get fitter or just find a way. But Parramatta moved them around and they looked a bit slow and clumsy, but we've all done that at times.
I know you're a Titans man, Gordy, but quick pick, Titans-Cowboys tonight?
Oh, the Titans. We've had a great 8 weeks in isolation.
Mate, you're from Townsville. I don't get you sometimes. Thanks, mate. It's a pleasure. As always, Gordy Tallis, champion.
I'm going to win tonight no matter what.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Channel 7 News last night, gentlemen. There seemed to be a bit of a road rage incident. Someone was a little angry. And
is this a bloke with a pinch bar?
He got out of his car. What? Did you see it? Oh, pulled up at a set of lights, got out of his car, and this kind of happened. He's yelling. Oh, that's a whack. Whack, two, three. Did you say a pinch bar? What's that? I wasn't quite sure. It looked like a steel.
Like a Jimmy bar they used to, break into house, to demolish things. So
yeah, well, they pulled up at a set of lights, and all of a sudden you see this guy just get out of his car. It's been caught on dash cam, and he's holding a wad of cash, 50s, in one hand, and then just hits this car three or four times
yelling. He knocked the front headlights out too.
Yeah, gone, plastic shooting everywhere, and then he just gets back in his car. Allegedly had been tailgating this car quite aggressively, and so they let him pass and yelled out and called him an idiot as he went past, and as they pulled up at the next set of lights, he then got out and bashed
their
car.
Did you hear him at the end? I think you just said, grub. Yeah, but people get angry, but you shouldn't get out of your car.
Shouldn't get out of your car, unless you've got a pinch bar and a wad of cash. Then
didn't a couple of guys die last week? Northern New South Wales hopped out to have a fist fight, and the partners were yelling at them to get back in the car, and a truck took them.
Did you hear about that one?
Yes, and the wife was sitting in the car and saw it happen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Road rage is so bad.
Yeah.
What was the cash?
I've seen it happen.
Oh, what?
Don't know what the...
It happen. I've had to report to police a road rage incident wherein...
Were you involved?
I was not involved, but I was trying to keep up with the two cars involved because I had my video camera set up on my dash.
Hold on.
Yeah, and that's how Instagram. I do my karaoke singing in the car.
Instagram.
Insta story.
But anyway,
Were you singing over the road rage?
No, but I had to ring the police because it started to get very dangerous. They were yelling at each other, doing 100 kilometres down the M1. Heading from Brisbane to south, and they were yelling at each other through the windows, swerving. One guy took one guy over, the other guy took him over, and then eventually took him over, like right next to him, to force him into the exit lane so that they exited off at Beenleigh there. What? And so
for
I exited off at Beenleigh. I went past two exits, past my exit, and followed them because I was on the phone.
Didn't touch each other.
I was on the phone to the police at the time.
The cars touched?
Yeah, the cars touched. He rubbed him into the exit to make him exit. Yeah, rubbing, racing.
Perfect. Wow. Going to Beenleigh.
It's crazy. Road rage. I'm like...
Now, where did that finish? What happened?
Yeah. Well, at Beenleigh, and pulled over into the big service station thing there. I'd stopped filming because then I was ringing and I was on the phone to the police saying, hey, look, you better get down here because someone threw something out the window into the other car. Yeah. And I don't know if it was like a bar or a broom or something, but they threw something from one car to the other. It was pretty full on.
Now, at the Beenleigh servo, did they hop out?
Well, I didn't stop. I kept driving. And I'd said to the police, I said, look, they've pulled over there here. You better get down here quickly before somebody gets hurt. And apparently they did. I had an officer turn up at my house to come and collect the footage off a USB. I had to put it on. It was full on. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. Road rage. Have you been involved in an incident where somebody's come at you? Road rage. They're angry. Well, like, it happens in car parks all the time.
Listeners drive more than... Oh, car park.
Get abused at the shopping centre at Westfield there.
I just remembered growing up, I would have been in year 8 or 9, I was in the car with my mate, his dad, loose unit, Serbian bloke. A guy was tailgating us. His dad hopped out at the lights and slashed the guy's tyre with a knife.
Wow.
Cold gimpy at it again.
That's road or in car parks. I've seen people standing,
people are angry,
bagsing a car park. I tooted one day for a woman who didn't turn left at a green arrow, okay? And she was obviously texting or whatever. Tooted once. did it twice, and then we both missed the lights, and I just gave her a blast, okay? Mm. She hopped out of a car and came at me. I just wound my window up and said, go away.
Yeah.
Because there's no
not
way.
Not addressing it.
Yeah, how, yeah. What do you do? You can't have a fight with a girl who's, why do people hop out of their cars? They must be having a terrible day, and this just triggers them.
Never ends well.
Yeah, no. Let's find out. 133-53. Nick from Deception Bay. Road rage incident. Were you involved in one?
Look, I think we've all been involved in many of them. The best way to deal with them is I'll give them a yellow card and just keep on going.
What? Give them one of these.
Hang on, what do you mean? Nick. What do you do?
I just pull out the yellow card and give them one of them.
You've got one and wave it at them like a referee?
Yep, and then they carry on, I pull out the red.
Oh,
you're off.
Nick, what happens? Do you get the bird or you get a fist waved at you?
The look of comprehension on their face. Yeah. Nearly as satisfying as that first trip to the bathroom after your coffee kicks in.
Oh, thank you, Nick. That's a great analogy.
That is great. Sure. That'd make me laugh, I reckon.
All right, I'm going to get a yellow card. Where would you go? Officeworks and just cut them out.
I mean, you just colour it in, cardboard. Like a bit of cardboard or a bit of paper.
Oh, then you got to get white paper and a yellow pen, but they'd sell yellow paper.
Coloured cardboard, of course.
Nick, do you think that would diffuse the tension if someone pulled a yellow card?
Oh, it'd have to make you laugh.
It's a bit of an icebreaker, isn't it?
It's not very nice. You know when people are giving it to you on the horn, you've done something, and you wave really friendly like that?
Yeah. Oh, that annoys
me. I always wave. You know, if someone lets you in, you give them a wave.
I know, that bit. But if you've done something right, you've been they're tooting at you and you wave really friendly, it's just they don't know what to do then.
Danielle from Caboolture, friendly waving happening in your road rage incident?
It didn't work out very well for me at all. I accidentally cut someone off. It actually, I think, happened twice, but the first time was quite a bad cut off and I yelled or mouthed sorry and waved.
Yeah, nice.
What happened?
Started tailgating us. We were doing 110 on the Bruce Highway heading south toward Brisbane.
Yeah.
Started tailgating us, honking, finger, or, you know, all the works. And then he slowed down and I had to pass him. When I drew level, he pulled out a golf club and started smashing my windscreen.
What? From inside the car?
Pardon?
From inside the car?
He was the driver. There was no one else in the car. He was leaning out with his right hand holding the golf club.
Oh, no.
Steering with his left.
Screen. That's how close he was, that he could smash my windscreen with a golf club.
Oh, my Lord. Oh.
Danielle, where did this finish up?
Yeah, my partner rang police. They said, stop the car. And I said, no way. And my partner wound down his window and held up the phone and yelled out, we're on the phone to the police. And at that point, the man settled down or got a fright, I don't know what, but he took off.
Get his number plate and stuff, Rego?
We got his number plate, we passed all the details on, but never heard anything more. The damage to the car was pretty minimal and I didn't want anything to do with him. I just wanted, you know, to forget about it.
I like detail. Was it a wood, an iron or a putter?
It was actually a Range Rover Discovery.
No, but what club was it? Was it a wood?
The golf club?
Yeah.
Would not have a clue, mate.
It was a 9-iron.
Come on.
Clearly got him on a bad day. Maybe he had a bad round at the golf.
Yeah, maybe he'd had a really bad game of golf.
Do you practice forgiveness, Danielle? Do you forgive him?
Big wooden head.
On the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
That's another Big Breakfast done and dusted.
God, you do so much for this town.
Ask your plumber to install a ream. Steady, hot and strong. Triple M. Triple M.